Welcome to the podcast service of the Massachusetts Climate Action Network. Visit us online at massclimateaction.net or friend us on Facebook.
Hi. And welcome to the Climate Minute, your source for insight and perspective on global warming news. My name is Ted McIntyre, and this show is for the week of July 21st, 2016, an important day in my life for various reasons. Now, this week we're joined by our frequent guest, the prolific commentator, Mr. D.R. Tucker. How you doing, D.R.?
Good. How you doing?
Great. And we're particularly pleased to be joined by Mike Green, the Executive Director of the Climate Action Business Association, or CABA, which is a nonprofit here in the Boston area. How are you doing, Mike?
Hey, DR. Hey, Tucker. Great to have you guys with me here tonight.
That's good. So what we want to do is explore a little bit about what the Climate Action Business Association is up to, why it exists. So tell me, Mike, what is your organization? What's your goal? What are you trying to do?
Yeah, so Climate Action Business Association is really looking to change the narrative on how businesses are treated in the debate around taking action on climate change. Mm-hmm. What we saw is a real need to represent a voice that is just so often forgotten, and that's our local business community. Mm-hmm. Folks are quick to look to the large environmental organizations and large corporations for direction on how we're going to switch to a more sustainable future. But at the end of the day, it's going to come down to community action, local action, and the businesses that function on that level as well.
Do you think that businesses see a sort of a existential risk in climate change, or are they trying to do they see it as an opportunity to, improve the bottom line? I mean, what would attract a business to the CABA organization?
You know, Ted, it's really a both thing. There's the risks of climate change and the threats of business continuity going into the future, whether it's sea level rise, extreme heat waves, customers or staff not being able to get to and from locations, mm-hmm. Supply chain vulnerability. But there's also great opportunity through taking advantage of state and federal incentives to become more energy efficient, mm-hmm. To reduce your carbon footprint. And also, don't forget, consumers in the new millennial workforce are also looking for those businesses that are thinking out front on this issue, yep. And want to be associated with those kind of companies.
So CABA is functioning here in the Boston area, so the eastern Massachusetts, I would say, more largely. But my understanding is that there is a particular campaign that you're engaged in right now, something that I think is called the Boston Against Rising Seas, the BARS program. Is that something that, did I get that right?
Yeah, so it's businesses acting on rising seas. Yeah,
businesses acting on rising seas. Okay, got it.
Yeah, so BARS is one of the campaigns that we're doing this summer. Mm-hmm. And the idea is really to reach out to communities and give communities the opportunity to become more resilient and more prepared for extreme weather events and sea level rise going into the future, mm-hmm. And doing that through reaching out to their small business community. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. Let me kind of start to back up a bit. Now, CABA works on three program areas. We work on helping our businesses with their internal sustainability. Mm-hmm. We've developed an app that helps them track their waste, water, energy, and transportation usage, kicks out a greenhouse gas footprint. And then we are able to work it kind of like QuickBooks for sustainability. We're able to help them track their footprint, track their business bottom line and business metrics that are meaningful to them, mm-hmm. and help them reduce their carbon footprint. We also work with them on policy and helping them understand the political landscape, and then, of course, bringing them together as a community of shared values.
Right.
One of the things that we notice that even if we make them, carbon-free businesses and part of this strong community and progressive on policy, they're still not going to be resilient to sea level rise and extreme weather in the future.
Right.
So we developed a guide that gives the businesses easy steps that they can take right away. Knowing what their flood insurance is, knowing that their brick and mortar is safe and prepared, developing basic communication structures between staff, your employees, your customers, so people know how to access your services and products in case you're no longer able to provide that due to one of these threats in the future.
I mean, for example, if Hurricane Sandy had hit Boston, these would all be good things because all the small businesses would be down, basically, right? Where's my employees? You know, where are my records? Excuse me. And you're basically trying to help them prepare for that eventuality, right?
So what we saw in Hurricane Sandy in New York was about 30% of the small businesses in the most heavily affected communities were never able to reopen. Wow. And not only does that mean small businesses going out and that service or product no longer being offered, but it is that tax revenue for that community. It's the jobs in that community. It really starts to erode at the fabric of the community. And if someone does move back in later in time, it's usually not that local mom and pop shop anymore. You know, it's a multinational corporation. So we're giving these businesses the opportunity and hopefully the firepower they need to be able to stay open during a time of crisis.
So what kind of appetite have you found among different levels of businesses? I mean, I can easily imagine, supermarket chains being interested in, you know, riding out heavy weather events, right? And are there a particular kind? I mean, I suppose there's not many ski resorts in eastern Massachusetts anymore, but there must be. I mean, so what business has resonated the most strongly, say, with the message?
So we've actually celebrating tonight that we hit our target of reaching out to 500 businesses in the zones that we identified as high risk. So we worked with Coastal Zone Management here at the state and really identified the businesses that are sitting in these floodplains where they're seeing either regular high tide flooding or what would be a normal rain event flooding that they hadn't in the past. We don't actually realize this, but Boston is in the top 10 for most flood vulnerable cities in the world.
Really?
You know, well, a lot of us are sitting on, at least I'm over here in the South End, sitting on landfill, right? So it's really not hard to believe. So the businesses, when they look at the flood maps and they start to really understand their risk, you know, that's step one for us, know what your risk is. And when they start to grab that, it doesn't matter if you're a bait shop, if you're a local bank, if you're, like you said, a food supermarket. You see the risk, and as a small business owner, you're, you know, mantra 101 here is to avoid risk.
Right. So have you found that if a small business, of which there, of course, there are many in Eastern Massachusetts, if they get the message, do you think that gives some sort of impetus for political action? Or are the businesses first and foremost focused on making sure their own internal processes are up to the task?
One of the things that the businesses really need in order, you know, they can only do so much on their own. What they really need is the best practices and having access to the best information and knowledge. And right now, sitting in the Massachusetts State House, there's a bill called Comprehensive Adaptation Management Planning. It's actually been passed by the Senate three times in this session and is sitting over in the House side of the building. What we're hoping to do is...
Wait, Mike, before you go on, too beautiful a acronym. Say the name of that bill again, because many people listening to this show may want to call and urge their representatives to support this bill. I got CAMP, C-A-M-P, right?
Yes, CAMP.
CAMP in the summertime. So yes. What is it? What, remind me what the four letters mean?
Comprehensive Adaptation Management Planning.
And that, so adaptation, just to unpack that, adaptation for most of the people listening to the podcast will know that in the climate context, adaptation means getting ready for the warming that's already built in, right? And you're planning, this is a state-level bill to help coordinate that planning at the business level or at the state level?
It actually is at a coastal level, right? So it's looking at our high-risk community in our Massachusetts Mass Coastal on what exactly our risk level is. We actually don't have an assessment on, across the entire eastern coast of what our risk is.
Mm-hmm.
And when we leave it up to municipalities and cities to do it, we run this terrible risk. We learned in Long Island when one community would build a seawall and the other community depended on saltwater marshes as a buffer. And what happened to the saltwater marshes? Well, the seawall created a strong current channel and eroded all of their marshes because they didn't have a combined plan.
And I've seen that up a place in Maine that I sometimes go for weekends, and it looks like one town built a seawall, and then the next town over is just eroding. I mean, the beach is gone from year to year. So you're absolutely right. That kind of fragmented approach of each little town, acting in its own self-interest, it does not seem to make sense.
And we've got places such as Winthrop, which is a very high risk, and they just invested millions of dollars into restoring their public beach. Yet we really don't know how that's going to play out in comparison with the surrounding communities. And with the new energy bill, that camp was actually added as an amendment to and is sitting as part of the language.
Is the omnibus bill?
Sitting as part of the omnibus bill right now, and the thinking is, well, we're going to invest millions of dollars into infrastructure, into creating these coastal wind projects. Yet we don't know what the risk is to start developing that kind of infrastructure.
Interesting. So I guess this is one more reason people should be cheering for the omnibus bill, right? And calling their state reps to accept the omnibus bill, which is now in committee, right, DR?
Mm-hmm, that's correct.
Yeah.
Michael, you mentioned Superstorm Sandy and the economic consequences of it. Do you think that there is still not enough discussion or not enough speculation or not enough sort of general consideration of the prospect that as we have all these global temperature records breaking year after year after year, we could be potentially facing a situation sometime in the very near future where you have a series of extreme weather events that cause such economic damage that they in effect trigger an economic recession or depression? Could we have something like the 2008 financial crisis brought about by a series of extreme weather events?
It's really hard for me when I look at the local businesses and the small businesses. It's scary to think how many of those businesses would have to be would have to be either closed down or hurt in order for an event like that to happen. I think it's completely reasonable to think. I'm sure a lot of folks are familiar with the brand Seventh Generation. They're based up in Burlington, Vermont. Mm-hmm. They get their supply chain globally. And one of the things that they had is between the massive typhoons that have rocked parts of the Philippines and Asia, Hurricane Sandy that came crashing into New York, and even Hurricane Irene that went up into Vermont and devastated Vermont and Burlington, we are exposing our businesses, whether you're a local business or a business with a large supply chain, to implications of the future climate and extreme weather on a global scale. Certainly is an issue.
Well, and I think now the names come back to me. If you remember, DR, just after Hurricane Katrina hit, there was a second hurricane, Rita, which was almost as big as Sandy, and that went out over into Texas. So it's not beyond the bounds of thinking that you could have sort of multiple events that even the United States would be staggered by, right? If you have two or three, God knows, in the course of a bad hurricane season, you could. So I think what it comes back to is Mike's point is that we need to build a resilience in these local businesses and local communities, of course, but Mike's particularly focused on the business as being resilient under these kind of, stresses, right? There's economic stresses and it's just having the devastation of these big events.
Mm-hmm. It is something to think about when you think about businesses trying to plan ahead, trying to think, you know, short term and long term. And the reality of the changes in weather occurring in the short term, potentially putting them out of business in the long term.
So, Mike, let me come back. With the you've given us background on what Kaba is up to. There's also this Business Against Rising Seas initiative that I'm interested in. Tell me about that.
Yeah, so the Businesses Acting on Rising Seas is the...
I get it right one of these times.
Yeah.
Business Acting on Rising Seas. There you go.
Yeah, so that is the name of our summer campaign to do this outreach.
Uh-huh.
So we've brought on a great group of young future leaders that are actually going door to door, talking with small businesses everywhere from Gloucester to New Bedford to the Cape. Every single day, talking to them about the threats of climate change. And, you know, they're doing absolutely phenomenal work, and we're just super proud of the team we were able to bring together this summer.
And so you've got people basically, I guess, going door to door, talking or targeted businesses and offering them the services of Kaba to think about these things, right?
We're offering the resiliency guide right onto their countertop, absolutely free. We're not asking for folks to join us,
or really, they
don't have to interact with me ever again. But I want them to, you know, let that sit on their countertop and read it over,
right, and
hopefully they'll look back and say, "Hey, I think these guys can help us out," and they'll reach back out to us.
Now, is there anything that people can do to help the project? I mean, if you're a business owner in New Bedford and you want to get who would they contact? Is there a contact point, or do they go to the website?
Yeah, sure. So if you're a small business and you want to be involved and get access to our guide or access to any of us as a resource, the website is cabaus.org.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And for listeners that aren't small businesses, I have a second ask.
Okay.
And, you know, let's think about how often we talk to our family and friends about climate change, because it's an issue we're passionate about. But how often do we talk to that local cafe or grocery store that we go in almost every single day? Very rarely.
Mm-hmm.
So I challenge people to start to talk to the local community and business leaders that they work with and are familiar with, and ask them what they're doing about climate change and about their own resiliency.
Interesting. Yeah, I think that's a great... So there you go. We've got, just to summarize for the things people can do, you've got the omnibus bill. One more reason to call your rep about the omnibus bill. There is the, if you're a business, you can contact kabaus.org to get with the game if you want. And if individually, you can go and raise your voice. Mike, we often speak on this program about how climate topics need to be normalized. They need to be a thing that's not sensitive to talk about, right? It's something that's not a big deal, right? That you bring it, and it's only by people bringing up the topic and talking about it in a rational, calm way that it becomes something you say, yeah, okay, that maybe probably something I ought to worry about, and you can begin to take hopeful steps. So, good.
Yeah. You know, Ted, we have a tendency as people that are passionate and alarmed by this issue to tell everyone about the fire and how we're running towards the fire to put it out. But most people, they run away from fire. They head the other direction towards safety. And you're dead on that we need to find ways to rationally sit down and have honest conversations with business leaders and our community leaders alike about what we're really doing about this issue.
Super. Well, here's what we'll do, Mike. We'll put up the links that we've talked about here on with the podcast. So there's a blog associated with the podcast. I'll put the links into the blog, and we'll post that. It'll be posted at massclimateaction.org, /blog. We had a little trouble with the website lately, so it's massclimateaction.org/blog. You can go there and check out the links. Of course, you can find the show, because we'll put a link on our Facebook page is /massclimateaction. And Mike, you must have a Facebook page as well, right?
Definitely.
It's what, /CABA?
/CABA. And also make sure to look us up on Twitter. We're tweeting pictures of all of the locations that we're stopping at. over the summer. So, you know, go in there, find your local community if you live in coastal Mass, and check out some of the businesses we've stopped by. There's probably some familiar ones.
That's great. So you can find us on your smartphone using Stitcher or TuneIn Radio. And, of course, you can find us on iTunes by simply searching for Massachusetts Climate Action. So we will close the way we always close, by saying that because we recognize the necessity of personal accountability for our actions, because we accept responsibility for building a durable future, because we believe it is our patriotic duty as citizens to speak out, we must insist that the United States put a price on carbon. So thank you very much for being here, Mike.
All right, thank you. Let's get a price on carbon. That's the next thing, huh?
Right, and thank you so much, DR.
Thanks.
We'll talk to you again next week. Bye, everybody. Take care.
Thanks for being with us, and until next time, be green.
Very cool.